Luke chapter number 22, verses 29 through 32. Break me off a little something, Perhaps one of the most challenging, one of the most difficult things to do is to get church folk to learn how to share. I got mine. The truth. I find it ironic that church folks don't like to share. But the world, unsaved folk, they believe in sharing. You go to the club, somebody's always willing to buy you a drink. You run out of cigarettes, somebody's always willing to give you one. You come to the church and you need money to go to church, and church folk won't give it to you. You come to the church and you need money for medicine, not crack. Medicine. And church folk, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, will quote you a scripture, but they won't give you the money for your medicine. I'm still on church folk right now. Sometimes what we think is what God has given us is indeed for us. And the truth of the matter is that when God blesses you, He blesses you to be a blessing to someone else. See, you still think that God gave you a job so that you can have money. You haven't made the connection yet that the only reason God gave you a job is so that your ministry, not job, your ministry will allow the workplace to reflect your worship. See, the reason why corporate America looks so bad is because there's no worship inside of you in order for you to maintain on Friday evening. So if there's no worship, no word, the workplace will never be straight. You think that God gave you everything that He gave you so that you can be happy, not understanding that God is not concerned with your happiness, because happiness is predicated on something happening. So when He stopped happening for you, or she stopped doing for you, then you all of a sudden sad. But the joy that you have must be in Jesus, not a happiness predicated on something else going on. We think that God gave us a spouse so that we can have sex. Not understanding that the relationship that God gave you is to reflect Jesus' relationship with the church. Fellas, can you treat it like Jesus treated the church? Young ladies, can you be submissive and obedient to Him as God is requiring from the church? I know I'm using some big words today, like obedience and submission, but just because the culture has changed, God is still God. God is saying, I'm changed not. Changed from God to what? There's nothing better than the God that we serve. God bless you to set you up so that you can then pass the blessings on. All right. So when God bless you, He is in essence is saying to you that when you've been blessed, pass it on. Because the more that you give, the more that you receive. If you don't get that, you think that if you give, it's not coming back. But God has instituted some principles in life, and one of them is that if you return unto me the tenth that is rightfully mine, he says, then I'll open up the windows of heaven.
Yes.
Now, I don't want you to think that just because you are a tither, that you are okay. Because he wants you to tithe your time, your talent, and your treasures. Just because you give your money, one third is still failure. If you're not giving him any time, if you're not giving him your talent, he wants everything from you that he gave. One day Jesus was just strolling down and he walked by the lake. As he walked by the lake, he ran across a young man by the name of Simon. Simon was a very, very successful person. Simon was out fishing and he had a crew. I know sometimes we say, well, God don't need for you to have all that money. If you say it, you need to trust God. I trust God, but I still need to talk to Georgia Power once a month. I'm just saying. I trust God, but I still need to go to work. I know God can do it, but I do understand that he gave me the natural abilities to do some things so that I can give him something to work with. I'm just saying. Peter was already about God's business when Jesus came along. He owned a fishing company. So there he was fishing. Jesus came by. Jesus said to him, Simon, Simon. He says, come follow me. He says, I'll make you a fisherman of men. In other words, you keep trying to get fish, but I want you to throw the net, cast the net, so that you can draw men unto me. Now, Peter did not have a long conversation with Jesus. He simply dropped his net and followed Jesus. Now, I have to warn you that when you really begin to follow Jesus, watch out. Hell gonna break loose on you. You thought you had it rough when you were clubbing and you were struggling every now and then. Baby, come on, join the church. Let me show you struggle all the time. Come on in the church. Let me show you being lied on all the time. Come on in the church. Let me show you being judged all the time. Come on in the church and let me show you going through trials and tribulations, one after another, as you proclaim God can and God will. God doesn't remove everything from you. God sometimes will leave some things in front of you so that you can strengthen yourself through him.
All right.
So why would God allow you to go through something? It's very simple. I want you to remember A, B, C. It's very simple. God sometimes will allow you to go through something so that he can show you your natural abilities. Your natural abilities equals nothing. Satan will tear you up all times of the day and the night based off your natural abilities. So when you get an understanding of your abilities, then God will allow you to move into a place of brokenness so that then you don't trust yourself, you look to him.
Yes.
Now that I'm broken, I'm ready to receive what God has for me. Because before you are broken, you think you doing it.
Amen.
Before you are broken, grace cannot abound because grace can't get in. broken, then God comes and he says, now I can complete you.
Yes.
Ability, brokenness, completion. Now the completion, watch this, is when I am doing okay by myself. And when you come in my life, you don't make me. You complete me.
Yes.
Let me talk to somebody who wants to get married. Let me help you. When you're looking for a mate, baby, you need to be completed before he gets there. Because if you are broken and cracked up and crazy before he gets there, and your crazy self marry him and wonder why he can never make you happy, because you're crazy, you need to fix yourself. I'm preaching to somebody. You need to fix yourself. No, that's just not enough. He takes care of the child. Well, I don't know, just something missing. I'm not happy anymore. God, he don't care about your happiness. Remember, relationships on the earth is to reflect Jesus' relationship with the church. And so, Peter says, okay, follow Jesus. Peter, or Simon at the time, began to follow Jesus. And now, as Simon is following Jesus, no place between the time that he drops his fishing net and this point in Luke does Peter repent. Don't leave the church. Peter, the Bible doesn't say that he was baptized. Oh, you know you got to be baptized in the water. And God is saying, you can tear that water up, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't wash your heart, you still dirty. You still messed up. And so here's Peter. Peter's doing a work for Jesus, walking next to Jesus, witnessing Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle, healing, restoring sight, raising folk from the dead, and Peter's standing right next to the anointing, but he doesn't have the anointing. You can come to church, but that doesn't mean that you're going to walk away with something if you don't allow it inside of you. You can watch somebody else shout, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't get hold of you, me shouting don't benefit you. Peter, Simon, is walking with Jesus. And so Jesus gets Peter and the other disciples to a point where he began to tell them about kingdom. Now, when he begins to tell them about kingdom, he's not referring to a place. He was referring to, let my will be done in and through you. And now, I want you to allow me to use you, Peter. And I'm sure Peter is saying, well, who's been using me all along? See, God knows where he's taking you. And because God knows where he is taking you, God has to do a confirmation in you for you, so that you'll see that God has purpose for you. Because sometimes in life, people tell you stuff and you forget who you are, or should I say, whom you belong to, and you start thinking that you are trouble. You start thinking that you are what people say that you are. You can go through failure, but that doesn't mean that you are failure. It's a time in life where I came short, but I'm still a child of God. He's still going to wake me up in the morning. He's still going to give me help and strength. His grace still abounds. I don't care what I went through yesterday. He still will supply all of my needs today. Therefore, I can praise him today for what I know God to be. And I don't care about the little mistakes that I made.
Yes.
Jesus looked down the road and he says, Simon, Simon, In other words, do you hear me? He says, Satan has desires to sift you. In biblical days, you take wheat. What you're trying to do is you're trying to cause a separation. That which I can use and that which I can't. And so I took some sunflower seeds, and it's really not going to do it for you, do justice for you here. But I want to try to at least show you something. So in the sifting, what they'll do is throw it up in the air, and they'll fan it, and then all of the bad stuff get blown away, get tossed away. That which is good, it falls back. So he says, when I throw it, the wind just carry away all the bad stuff. I know the wind has been blowing in some of you lives, and you've been thinking that it was a storm in which Satan is about to destroy you, and God is saying, but I've been blowing some negativity out of your life. I've been blowing some bad people out of your life. Every now and then, you have to understand that there are some people in your life that they shouldn't be there. And so God will cause a sifting so that he can separate you from your fake friends. Everybody who calls themselves your friends, baby, really ain't your friends. Everybody who says, I got your back, baby, really don't have your back. Everybody who says, you can call on me anytime, really don't want you to call them anytime. So he says, Simon, Simon, he says, Satan has desires to sift you like wheat. He says, but. Now, the word but in the Greek is cancellation. In other words, I know what Satan wants to do, but you can cancel that out because I've already prayed for you. He says, I prayed for you. Now in John chapter number 17, when Jesus prays for you and I, which is really the Lord's Prayer, not the disciples' prayer that you call the Lord's Prayer. We'll talk about that later. So when Jesus begins to pray, he says to Peter, I've already prayed for you. In other words, he says, that thing is sealed. You don't have to worry about what Satan is doing in your life to really destroy you. Now, you may get tossed back and forth a little bit, but that's all right. Just hold on. Because I promise you, when I say I'm going to take you to the other side, we're going to make it to the other side. I need to talk to some folks this morning. But God has given you a vision and a dream. And nobody believes it but you. And if you listen to folk, folk will make you stop believing what God told you. That's why the Bible says that the traditions of man make the word of God a non-effect. Because you believe what folk say. You know that'll never happen. Because as long as I've been here, tradition says that's against the norm. But tradition says that's against the natural. But when I begin to believe God, I'm not in the natural, I'm in the supernatural. Now all things are possible. Now I can do all things because I'm in him and he is in me right now. And so what Peter said is that I know what Satan desires to sift me like wheat. But Jesus says, but I prayed for you. And what I prayed is that your faith fails you not, baby. In other words, he says, you're going to go through something. As you begin to go through something, don't give your faith to anyone else. Take my job. Take my house. Take everything else. But if I got faith, the size of a, no, not the seed, the grain. You don't get me. This is a grain. This is a grain. This is the seed. He says if you got faith the size of a grain in the midst of going through something and you see no way out and no hope, I dare you to say, but I believe something. I know the whole seed ain't there, but I feel something being stirred up on the inside of me. I know it may not look right, but something on the inside of me, I don't know I know that when I begin to go through something, I should not be moved.
Amen.
See, because my soul is anchored. I'm not talking about a feel-good religion. I'm talking about my soul. Be anchored. When your soul is anchored, you can go through the storms, but I'm still anchored in the Lord. Because in the midst of going through something, I still can hold on to my rock. Watch this. Jesus changed Simon's name from Simon, meaning hearing, to Peter. Peter means pebble or stone or rock. That's why when Jesus asked Peter, "Whom do men say that I am?" Peter said to Jesus, "Thou art
the Christ,
the anointed one." And he says, "Upon this
rock."
Not upon Peter, but upon the revelation that Peter put out there. In other words, what Peter's saying is that I'm strong enough not just to believe for myself, but I'm going to break off a little something for you in 2012 to believe me.
Woo!
He says, "Do you believe?" Hey! Watch this. Rock. R-O-C-K. The R is restore. That is, in life, you're going to fall short. But Jesus says, "I pray for you." In other words, I've already restored you before you fail. Here in Luke 22, Peter has not failed yet. But he says, "I've already restored you." Isn't it good to know before you go through something, before you get in the mess, before you get in the storm, before you deny him, before you reject him, before you sin, he says, "I've already restored you." Now why are you still under your situation, under your circumstance, when he says you've already been restored? Restore. He says, Satan has desire. In other words, I know what Satan wants. Even before he gets to it, I've already restored you. The R is restore. The O is ordain. Listen to what Jesus says to Peter. He says, "But I've prayed for you." You don't get it. He says, "I've appointed you. I've ordained you. I've empowered you." So I know what Satan wants, but I prayed for you. If you understood that no man can ordain you, but God does the ordaining, and so when God empowers me, you can't knock me down. I know I got haters, but I'm not going to go anywhere, and you can't move me until God says it's time for me to go. I know folks stab you in the back, but he said, "But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." So let them cut all they want to cut. And yourself, so born again believer, all you doing is bleeding the blood of the Lamb. So every time somebody tries to hurt you and you begin to shed the blood of the Lamb, you begin to plead the blood of the Lamb, you understand that God ordained me. And you can't hurt me, baby. And you can't stop me, baby. Because I'm just a force to be reckoned with. I'm God's child. He says to Peter, "I prayed for you. I ordained you." And then the sea. Watch this now. The sea is for capacity. Capacity. In other words, when God begins to use you, it would always be beyond you. If you can do it, that's not God speaking to you.
Amen.
If you can do it, that's not God. If you don't need God's help to pull that thing off, to pull that vision off, to pull that dream off, that wasn't God. That was your ego.
Amen.
That's what you want. And so you run out and you do something based off your ego and it doesn't work. And you say, God, why has that failed me? And God is saying, that's not what I told you. See, when God gives vision, he also gives, he'll pay for whatever it is that he's showing you, baby. See, the capacity is unlimited because he said, I'll supply all of your needs. Don't worry about the check coming back because it's according to my riches. It ain't about you. He says the capacity is always beyond your natural abilities. And then K is for kingdom. In other words, he says to Peter, listen to this. When you are converted, conversion or converted is the English word conversion. What it has to do in the Greek, the translation has to do to change in form. It's not about the natural abilities. I've been changed in form. Now it's about the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me. I couldn't do it in the natural. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, baby, I can do that in him. Now the kingdom is when God says to Peter, when you are converted, then I want you to strengthen your brother. I want you to light fire to somebody else. I wonder if somebody is excited about God based off the fire and the faith in you. I wonder if somebody sees God working in you and they want some of the God that is working inside of you. Now, when God calls you into something, you got to understand that when God calls you, he wants you to reach out, to reach back to somebody else. The blessing that you have is not about you. It's about the next person. He wants you to break off a little something for somebody else. Can you strengthen a brother? A brother who needs something. Can you strengthen a brother? A sister that's going through something. Can you strengthen a sister that's going through something? An old grandmother who needs something. Can you strengthen her? See, God wants you to be strength to somebody else in the midst of going through something. If you break off a little something for somebody else, if you reach out and touch someone else, you'll understand that when God blesses you, he says, just pass it on. See, when you begin to pass it on to somebody else, you got to look out because a blessing will knock you right in your face because you can't beat God's gift. No matter how you try, the more you give, the more he gives back to you. You, my friend, can't beat God's gift. Come on and give him some praise this morning. He says, Peter, he says, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to call you a rock. And you got to understand, I'm calling you a rock because I need for somebody to stand by your faith. I need for somebody to stand with you. See, Peter understood that he wasn't the real rock. The rock was Jesus Christ. You see, that's the thing that I love most about Jesus. And that is, I know that he'll never move. I know that he's always there because Jesus does rock. You know that. I hear some folks say this rock and that rock, but no. Jesus rock. Never went to medical school, but he's able to heal the sick. Jesus rocks. Never traveled more than 300 miles from his house, but his ministry is international enough. Jesus rocks. Listen. Is the best investment banker of all time. Never went to school, do not have an MBA. But he says, if you'll give me the 10th, I'll do a supernatural investment for you. Jesus rocks. When you're driving down the street Jesus rocks. You got to understand the Jesus that I'm talking about. He is the rock of your salvation. He is the rock of your salvation. Whatever you're going through, you need to understand you can trust Him. See, the rock is to be an anchor. When the storms of life begins to go and you begin to get tossed to and fro, He says, connect to the rock. I don't care how big a ship is. Every ship has an anchor. When the storms get really tough, you don't have to get off the water. Just go down to the anchor. Just go down to the anchor. I know what's going on up here, but down here, where I'm anchored, where I'm abiding in Him, and He abiding in me, oh, I'm safe right here. I know you worried about the economy, and I know you worried about the 9% or just dropped down to 8% unemployment, but I'm anchored. I know you worried about what the doctor told you and your cancer and your AIDS and your sickness, but Dr. Jesus down here where I'm anchored, He says, now by my stripes, you're healed. See, you got to come down. You got to come down. When things get so bad when you're walking around, come down and be anchored to the rock. While we're standing all over the sanctuary this morning, I want to open the doors of the church. And I want to give someone an opportunity that doesn't know Christ this morning to connect with the rock. Jesus is the rock, not the church. Jesus is the rock. As the deacons come forth, I want you to examine your heart. And maybe you're like Simon Peter. You hear, but you're not anchored. You're in the church, but you still haven't been converted. You haven't been changed. And now what God is saying to you this morning is that if you'll connect with me, He says, I'll secure your salvation. With everyone this morning, not sure about your salvation, or maybe one here this morning that simply don't have a church home. If that's you, we extend an invite to you. God wants you to come as you are. Hallelujah. God wants you to simply come as you are. You can't fix yourself. He said, come as you are. If you're in a storm this morning and you want that storm to peace, be still, connect to the rock. God is the rock. Jesus is the rock. The rock of your salvation. Would there be others? If you die right salvation through the name of Jesus. Through the name of Jesus. If you're not sure about your salvation, he's calling, he's knocking. Hey, let me in. Don't reject me. Don't go and fix it. Come as you are. You can't fix it. You can't fix it. Just come as you are. He already knows your sins. He already knows you. He created you. You ain't hiding nothing from him. Come as you are.